One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
A bump in the night, your heart fills with dread. Probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed, you'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinister Who?
Hello and welcome to another edition of Freaky Friday. It is Friday, June 6th, and it's Freaky Friday 166 on 66, and we didn't even plan it that way. It just happened.
What if it was also 2026?
2026, 2066.
That's when the portal opens up.
We will be there for that. Certainly.
I think the portal already opened up, and now we're living in hell.
It swallowed us.
To be sent back.
The portal opened and swallowed us all, for sure.
Yes.
Well, we have just go with us then and on a boat to escape from the world. The way that I have been watching TikToks of people on vacations, primarily on cruise ship vacations, I'm on that algorithm now, and I'm ready to board and go.
You're ready to board?
Take me away.
Oh, Inya. Sail away.
I'm ready for that.
Okay, well, now we have a new theme song for the cruise.
We got to get a playlist.
I just remembered that song existed.
I'm about to make a cruise ship playlist. Throw your favorites in the chat.
Oh, yeah. There's all sorts of cruise songs we can put on there. If you want to listen to them with us, November 3rd through 7th, Crime Wave at Sea, the biggest and best true crime festival at sea. We're going to be there. Some of our friends are going to be there. And then hopefully all of you will be there too.
Absolutely. It's going to be the ultimate true crime festival with us, Henry and Ed from last podcast, Scared to Death, True Crime Campfire. And like Christy said, all of y'all having a vacation with us. So it's all your favorite parts of a cruise, but also with us. And if I may, unidentified submersible objects. We can't confirm that we'll see them, but we know we will be drifting over them because they're filled.
Can't confirm we won't see them.
Yeah,
either.
Also that.
So right now it's the Schrodinger's UAP.
So
we don't UAP/USO. I think we're going to go for both.
They're going to sandwich us at once, one above, one below. And one of our stories today, I think maybe a UAP and has some of the markings of UAPs we've heard of before. So the more we get stories like this, the more we can keep our eyes on the sky
and
the water. go to crimewaveatsea.com/sinister to join us on our, it's like one big field trip to go USO hunting.
It is. There's going to be all the shows will have live podcast recordings. There's going to be fan meetups, Q&As. All sorts of other fun stuff, plus just the regular cruise stuff. We're going to the Bahamas, private island, a couple days at sea. It's going to be fun, you guys. So
let's go, baby.
We hope you can make it out. If you're looking for a roomie, perhaps, / a new BFF, you can go over to our Discord server. We've got a whole channel dedicated to Crime Wave at Sea and finding people that are going, finding people that maybe you want to share a cabin with, split the rate, all sorts of good stuff.
It'll be awesome. And I did just get a text from Crime Wave. They sent it out as like a promotional text, but saying that it's 75% sold. So there's only a handful of tickets left. So make sure to get yours at crimewaveatsea.com/sinister.
The guineas started making some noise when I said that. Are y'all going?
We're going to Siegfried and Roy them and take them on the ship in a laundry bag.
That would be way easier than a cheetah, getting these three little bitches on there. Although the three of them together in one laundry bag, the yeeps would be so loud. I couldn't just control it.
They're like, ma'am, what is in that bag? Don't worry about it. It's part of the show.
It's my vibrator, okay? Do you really want me to get it out? Yeah, it sounds like that.
It sounds like three guinea pigs. They're like, that lady just said it was part of the show. Yeah, it stands. What I said stance. Yeah. It's all
both. Both these statements are true.
No
Let
idea.
Let us on the ship.
Let us on, or else. So anyway, go see you there. If we don't get thrown off first, it sounds like.
Well, speaking of live shows, if you're longing for a live show and maybe you can't come on the cruise and we aren't touring this summer, we have the last show of Full Moon Energy, the Harvest Moon, the Hunter's Moon, Texas Theater, available now for purchase on Patreon.
Yeah, head over there. You can watch the whole thing start to finish. And it was a extravaganza of a show there at the end because we had a little extra that was not at all of our other tour stops. So if you saw it on the road in your hometown, there's some extra stuff since it was the final show, hometown show, things like that. And we're working on doing some extra stuff as well. But for now, you got to go catch up, remember the memories, the fun of the Full Moon Energy, and check it out over on Patreon. You can grab it, go to the website of Patreon because it does cost more on the app due to Apple whatnots. So make sure you go to patreon.com/sinisterhood to get it, stream it, watch it on demand, and relive all the fun, or feel like you go for the first time.
Yeah. Lucky 13 bucks. Well, in the meantime, I'm Christy.
I'm Heather.
And let's get freaky. Well, this first one's from Cassie, and it's called The Worst Right Swipe of My Life. Hi, ladies. I've been an on and off listener since 2020. I had to stop listening for a while because I would listen to the pod on my late night drives to my now husband's house when we were dating. He lived in the country and I freaked myself out by listening in the dark. He had a long, dark driveway out in the woods and I would have to basically run inside from my car to make sure I wasn't going to get got on my walk into the house. Now that I don't have to do that anymore, and I'm several years older, and maybe a tiny bit less of a scaredy cat, I picked up listening again. I have very much enjoyed catching up while I clean the house or work on my crafts. I've even got my mom hooked. I enjoy getting random texts from her throughout the day with quotes from older episodes as she makes her way through the backlog to get caught up. I've heard so many stories on Freaky Friday that I can relate to. I've wanted to write in many times, but have never made the time to sit down and write them. I was recently diagnosed with ADHD, but I'm also a Capricorn. Birthday twins was Christy, so I have to wait for the exact right mood to strike for me to write my story and to do it exactly how I want done. I tried to explain the story to ChatGPT and asked it to write it for me, but of course, it didn't turn out exactly the way I wanted it to. So I ended up doing it all myself. I think Christy could relate. I'm on summer break from college now, and it seems like a good time to send one in. So here we go. It was late summer, and fall was approaching a little too quickly for my liking. Other Washingtonians will understand. Saying goodbye to our whole 2 seconds of summer is hard. As much as I love fall, the spooky season, and the holidays, approaching the 10 months of gloom is always tough. I was 23, a single mom to a 2-year-old boy, in a post-heartbreak glow-up, and absolutely set on squeezing every last drop out of my hot girl summer. Dating in my area is rough, to say the least. We live near a big military base, which turns the dating pool into more of a dating puddle, a radioactive one at that. I'd been burned one too many times by military men, and while I appreciate and respect their service, I had officially sworn them off for good. You might not be surprised that this decision still didn't weed out all the dirtbags, which is where this guy comes in. Like I said before, I was in my hot girl summer and was determined to stop letting men play me like a violin. I decided I would have my fun, take no prisoners, and have zero regrets about any of it. I started an OnlyFans account to supplement my income and was feeling like a true bad bitch, especially considering I had only started out aiming to make an extra $200 a month, but ended up earning a little more than that per week. Something about having someone find you attractive enough to pay you just to look at you really did something for my self-esteem. When I came across this guy on a dating app, I decided he was cute enough to consider adding to my roster and agreed to a casual meetup for lunch. He was cute in person and matched his photos on his profile relatively well. Of course, with men on dating apps, it's always hard to tell if they're really cute or not in real life. I've always said that hats and sunglasses are the male version of makeup. Side note, I dare someone to find a dating profile where a guy doesn't have sunglasses or a hat on in at least one picture. Bonus if there aren't any pictures of a car or them holding a fish. Anyways, he mentioned about 5 minutes into the date that he'd been at the lake with some friends and his young son. What a fun, family-friendly gathering, right? Wrong. He quickly followed this up with the fact that he had been tripping on mushrooms while spending this quality time with his child. I mean, I get it. Even though I was sober at the time, and still am, I understood that the age of men I was willing to date would likely be engaging in some sort of substance use, whether that be alcohol or the devil's lettuce. But shrooms, while supervising your young child, near a large body of water? Come on, man. This should have been the first red flag that this dude was not a safe space. But we all know what it's like to have those internal alarm bells be overshadowed by the instinct to, quote, keep sweet. I brushed it off, made a note to never bring my child around him, and kept on making small talk. He mentioned that he was a car salesman. Honestly, a red flag in its own right, in my opinion. Adding to the growing list of red flags I ignored, he told me his son's mother was, quote, crazy, and that she was always trying to control his relationship with his son. I wonder if that could possibly be totally warranted, given you were just using drugs while being the one responsible for him. We walked around a nearby park after lunch, and the date ended with a way too aggressive kiss that seemingly came out of nowhere. I mean, we were literally standing in the middle of a park with people around, and he was trying to feel me up and shove his tongue down my throat. What are we, 16? Afterwards, I thought communication with him would just fizzle out. We didn't have much in common, he didn't really have a sense of humor, and doing drugs seemed to be a bigger part of his life than I was comfortable with. I would have been lucky to have never heard from him again, and honestly thought he was on the same page. He apparently was not. When he texted later, I was still just expecting communication to fizzle out, so I entertained some minimal small talk for a few days. When he suggested meeting up again, first date memory was fading. I gave him the benefit of the doubt and thought maybe he just had an off day and would be more pleasant on a day where he hadn't been doing shrooms before. The next couple of times we met up weren't anything to write home about. Ultimately, it became a sex-only relationship in my mind. He wasn't great to talk to or spend quality time with, but he was good at other things that didn't require any sort of deeper connection, if you know what I mean. Again, I was young and it was just for fun, or that's what I thought. One day, about 2 weeks after meeting him, he called me and had seemingly lost his mind. He was furious, basically accusing me of, quote, cheating on him. I was confused. Why was this casual hookup coming at me like I had wronged him in some unforgivable way? Well, he was mad that I had updated my profile picture on the dating app we met on. Reminder that this was after 2 weeks and a handful of casual hookups, absolutely zero conversation of any sort of relationship or exclusive dating. I tried to explain that we hadn't discussed being in a relationship. Also, if he noticed my profile picture had been updated, obviously he was still using the dating app as well. But he refused to let me speak, talking over me, yelling, etc. I told him I refused to be in any sort of relationship, casual or not, where a man thinks they can speak to me or treat me the way he was, and I hung up. Whether or not he heard what I had to say, I don't know. He didn't stop running his mouth the entire time. I blocked his number. It wasn't even a few minutes before the harassment started. He spammed me on every social media platform he could find. Snapchat, Instagram, Facebook. I would block him and he would just make fake accounts to continue harassing me. He called me every name in the book, tried every tactic from insults to flattery. He went as far as to make degrading comments about my 2-year-old son, knowing he had a developmental delay and capitalizing on it by calling him the R-word in public comments on social media. I got to the point where I just had to completely delete all of my social media. Of course, this man was not deterred and proceeded to post on my mom's Facebook wall saying, "Your daughter is a whore and she must have learned it from you." I was dumbfounded. What kind of person has such little, what's the word, awareness, self-control, morality, fucking common sense? Ugh. As if all this wasn't vile enough, he began trying to blackmail me with revenge porn. He threatened to post my nudes on the social media profiles of the company I was primarily employed with. This was a big company, like Fortune 40. So not only would it have likely gotten me fired, it would have been seen by so many people. When I went to my parents seeking help, they called the police on my behalf. The police empathetically responded, "Well, she has an OnlyFans account," as if that somehow makes it okay. Luckily, my parents are rock stars and truly always have my back 10,000%. They pushed back and told the police that having an OnlyFans account doesn't waive your right to privacy or protection. Eventually, the cops called him and told him to back off, and it mostly worked. But this man knew where I lived. I was terrified to stay at home alone with my 2-year-old, so I spent a few nights in my parents' house until things felt safer. But for as long as I lived at that house, every strange car that drove by, every strange sound or knock made my blood run cold. My dad, who is a 6'1", 300-pound mountain of a man, was ready to handle this guy himself. My father is fiercely protective of his family. It's bad enough if someone comes at even one of us, but for someone to come for his only child, his wife, and his grandson? I mean, if I still had this guy's address, I have no doubt my dad would have driven over there and settled things in a way that might have landed him in jail. I'm so grateful to have an army of family members who will always back me up. My heart really goes out to others who don't have that kind of support in situations like this. I can't imagine what I would have done if I didn't have them to help out. Fast forward to now. I study psychology. I'm entering my senior year, and I still cannot fathom what someone thinks they will earn from this kind of behavior. It's truly baffling, but is something that is far too common, and I wish that there was something the police could have done. When we asked about restraining orders or pressing charges, they said there was nothing they could do since he hadn't actually done anything, and there was no way to prove the fake profiles were him. But I have zero doubt in my mind that this man went on to make other women's lives total nightmares. I can't say that I wish this had never happened to me. I've been listening to some Zen podcasts lately. Thanks, Heather. And I've realized that without this happening, I would have never met my husband. He was the very next first date I had after this shitbag, and I'm so glad I still had the willingness to put myself back out there after this. We have a 2-year-old daughter now, and my husband loves my son like he is his own. I'm approaching 7 years clean and sober this August of 2025, and I have a life I love. I appreciate you ladies taking the time to read my story, regardless if it ends up on the pod or not. I want to thank you for keeping me company during the day and for bringing awareness, empathy, and recognition to victims and their families. I've listened to a handful of true crime podcasts, and you two do the most amazing job in every and all aspects. I'm a recent Patreon subscriber and have been loving every second of bonus content. It has quickly become my most valuable subscription. As always, the devil rules the airwaves and apparently the dating apps. Keep it creepy. Cassie. P.S. Heather, I met my husband on Bumble too. And Christy, check out Loop earplugs. I wear them almost constantly and they make parenting a little less hectic. Love you, ladies.
Oh, man. Well, Cassie, first of all, thank you for all of your kind words, but holy shit.
I've got some Loop. Before we dive into this,
yes.
I have Loop earplugs. I was looking for them in my purse. Oh, nice. When we were at the movies the other day,
where are you?
So loud, and I couldn't find them, but they are great.
They are lifesavers.
This, not great. This sucks shit in every way possible.
Yeah, the fact that, you know, you reject someone, not even really reject them, like they bring something up, behave in a way, and that when you say, oh, I don't engage in relationships with people that speak to me this way, their response isn't, oh, you're right, I shouldn't have spoken to you that way. Or even, oh my gosh, like, I don't want to be in a relationship with someone who's a whore like you. Whatever, that's fine. Say whatever you want. But then to go on this digital rampage, and this is what happened to the guy that I think I told the story on the Q&A that tweeted, like, my ex-girlfriend at Heather and, like, tagged my Twitter, was a whore. And I was like, oh, past tense, good, we don't have to date anymore. Like, that's how he broke up with me. And I went on to block him and just blogs I had made 5 years earlier started getting comments, like, to where it was like, because I had blocked him, it was like scraping the bottom of the barrel, DMing my mom racial slurs about the guy that I was dating after him. Like Cassie said, who thinks this is like going to help you in any role in your life, in any area of your life?
Narcissists.
Yeah.
People that just have absolutely no respect for women, incels.
Yeah.
The list goes on and on, unfortunately, because this is very common. And there are a lot of people that maybe don't even think it's going to get them anywhere, but they just want revenge. They want to get back at you.
This anger, this revenge. You know, thankfully, I was not threatened with revenge porn, although I had sent him topless photos. So I probably very easily could have been. And that's the danger of these like digital relationships is that, like, because like I said, I actually knew this person tangentially in person too. It wasn't even just a stranger off Tinder. And it's very eerie to not be able to predict what they're hiding behind that mask. Because even, I mean, like the guy that did that to me was kind of a fuck up ne'er-do-well, whatever. But I didn't ever think like, oh, and then he's going to go like scorched earth until like later on I heard other stories. And exactly what Cassie said, there is a 0% chance that you were the last person he did this to. And I would argue the first person either. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? And the same with this guy. The guy with me was like, oh, I did X, Y, and Z to my ex-wife. And I was like, wish I would have known that before I was alone with you in a car. Oh, shit. Oh, shit. So it's scary, man. Having family helps.
You know, anyone that's doing shrooms at a lake with their young kid is, that's a choice for sure. And also, it's quite a choice that after 2 weeks, you think you're like in a relationship. Mm-hmm. How thirsty are you? Like, it's embarrassing that you think that we're that close after 2 weeks and sleeping together a couple times. Come on.
Yes. And not only that, to say, not even say I saw you out at a coffee shop with another guy, but to go, you've cheated on me because you updated this profile picture on an app that I myself was checking. The way that makes you sound so thirsty and desperate.
Yes.
If the person, by the way, changes their profile picture, don't say anything.
No.
Because it makes you look weird and like, you're like refreshing it. As a person who married a hunk from Bumble that's a nice guy and everything's worked out, like, you never know. I mean, in 15, 20 years, we'll find out secretly Paris had a whole nother life. No,
oh, but, man, that's going to be quite a story.
He would have had it from both his entire family, too. But who knows? He's Batman secretly or whatever.
Maybe.
But it's like when you just play it cool, man. Like, I would check his page. And if anything got changed, I would not say anything. And I'm just like, cool. We're still casual. We're playing the field. That means I can keep swiping on people, too, even though I didn't want to.
It's so embarrassing. And just even if you didn't do any of these other things, if you said, I mean, I would immediately be so icked out that I would do the exact same thing. I'm like, bye. Like, this is so thirsty and like stalker-like behavior. Like, why are you on there looking at my thing? It just reeks of not having any confidence or then you also start thinking, what is he just doing drugs every day and making bad decisions? And like, I'm not trying to go down that road either. So absolutely, you made the right choice, especially because just after 2 weeks, this is how scorched earth this guy is willing to go.
The control, trying to exert control so early on, dude, when there's no like understanding of exclusivity. And I'm sorry that the cops too were like, well, she has an OnlyFans. Yeah. Bitch, that's not the same thing. Consensual adult content created for financial reasons is not the same as being revenge porn stalked by a person that you were never even in a relationship with. And if you need me to explain that to you, you shouldn't have a gun at your job because you're too dumb. You know what I mean? Like, if you can't understand how those two things are different, you should not be in any position of authority.
Again, how many times have we seen cops or just men like, well, she's a sex worker or she has an OnlyFans, you know, like, so that should open you up to like, basically you're kind of asking for it.
Mm-hmm.
And good for your parents for being like, hell no, that is rock star parents. And you are correct. It's pivotal to have like an army of people that you can depend on in situations like this. And I'm so glad you did. And I'm so glad you're 7 years clean and sober. That's amazing. You have a wonderful husband now, another child with him. I'm saving the worst for last.
Mm-hmm.
I would be calling you from jail if some motherfucker went on any kind of social media and had the fucking audacity to call one of my kids the R word.
Mm-mm.
Y'all, the show would be on hiatus I got to have a mic in my cell because I would be in prison.
We'll do it through the phone. We'll do it. And no one will ever blame you. No, seriously. I mean, the restraint that you used, Cassie, and like you said, you know, y'all luckily didn't know where he lived because your dad probably would have gone and whooped his ass. But stuff like that, I think that we can all become, because like Cassie said, I'm lucky to have a family like this and not everybody who goes through this does. But I think what we as a society, as we listen, regardless of gender, regardless of where, you know, how you feel about any type of online dating, whatever, is to say, when people behave like this man has behaved, we all universally shun him and just be like, yikes, you said and did what? Like to where it becomes so, you're such a social pariah. And I don't like to use the word because I know it has a clinical term, but it also has like that street term of like, you're a fucking psycho, man. Like when you make somebody feel like this is beyond behavior, like this is so beyond the pale, like this is pathetic, weird. What are you
alarming,
doing?
Dangerous. Yes.
Yeah. And really like say, and like at least the cops eventually called him and stuff. And where you have police officers go, knock this shit off early. And were we, because otherwise the permissiveness and the effectualness, like it's like, well, she called me back or I could still do it. Or I found this other page or whatever. It's like the soonest that if any of us encounter any stalker like behaviors that we name it and negatively call it out and say, we don't interact with people who do shit like that. I think then we don't have to individually go, well, she didn't really have a family that helped her out, so she suffered from stalking. Mm-hmm. It's just like societally, we don't fuck with stalkers.
No, it's such like alarming behavior that after 2 weeks was stalker like. So, I mean, it was only going to get worse. And saying your mom's a whore, all of it is just so much that I've said before, we need a database, an online database where when people do this, we can go and with receipts be like, John Doe. On this date, screenshot, so you can see, I'm not saying put their address and stuff on there because I'm not trying to dox anybody, but, you know, screenshots with names are okay.
Maybe we can do a mini-sode or dig into, it, like, what happens when, because there are pages on Facebook called, have you dated this guy Dallas Fort Worth, have you dated this guy Chicago, have you dated this guy Denver, and women who have been like, oh my god, if you match with, you know, Bradley F, this is what his picture looks like, he stalked me for 6 weeks afterwards, just be aware. And I believe there's been cases where men that have been posted on there have tried to sue or retaliate or whatever, and that might be fascinating, but that is a kind of crowdsourced version of what people are trying to do. Separate from that, Palantir, I think, is going to work with the government to make one big database of all of us. So perhaps it'll be flagged in that.
Great. Great.
Not great.
We had a private page, private URL that women who were in the comedy scene would use to post about male comics that everyone needed to look out for. And it was appreciated. Yeah. It was also insane how many people have stories, usually about the same people. And then it's like, okay, then stop booking these people. Like, don't give them any platform at all.
Yeah. And I would say, I think that's what we need to do is to start when you have a position of authority and you are in possession of information like that, to just say, I've become aware of some things about you that I'm not comfortable engaging with you any further. And if you want more information, you know, I want you to soul search because I think you probably know what you did, but we don't fuck with stalkers around here. Goddamn.
I think we do live in a world now, though, where people are more likely to put you on blast, potentially dox you very quickly when you do shit like this. Mm-hmm. And I have never seen one of those videos where I was like, girl, you shouldn't have posted this. I'm like, repost it everywhere you can because this guy is, I mean, a step away from killing you, and everyone should know about it so they don't have to go through the same thing.
I've seen several women on TikTok come on and say, you know, with a single take, straight face, dead down the camera saying, these are the things that happened to me. These are the messages I got. This is what happened. And I'm just here to put it out there. And if you want to sue me for this, Bill, go for it. Try it. But I'm saying, you know, I'm out here because I'm not afraid of you anymore. And just millions of people in the comments going, fuck that guy. We'll hunt him down ourselves. I'm like, we're maybe moving where the stalkers need to be afraid. And I hope that we do move in that direction because they should be. And like, why are you fucking doing this?
Yeah. You named two B names, Bill and Bradley.
I was like trying to go like Bob, Joe, Dave.
I just thought it was interesting that the B's were the bad boys. Maybe that's why.
That was BB, bad boys. Bad boy Bill. Yes. You know who they are.
Bad boy Bill and bad boy Bradley.
Gunslinging.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for sending that in. I know we have a ton of listeners that have gone through this exact same thing. So this is a good reminder. There's no need to ever keep sweet. Fuck everybody. Right? That's my new motto.
For real. And if you ever, if this happens to you too, put them on blast and share it far and wide. There's a supportive community on TikTok, yeah. I'm sure, that would love to help.
Absolutely.
Sinisterhood will be right back. My whole life, I haven't really wanted to like mess with like a push-up bra and like all this stuff. And I'm like, I don't need it. And I'm just fine. And leave me alone, whatever. And then we got a chance to wear the ultimate teardrop push-up from Skims. And I'll tell you what, I should have been fucking with them all along. Like, well, what have I been missing out on?
You found out what you've been missing.
I have been missing. I just always thought it's going to poke me. It's going to hurt. It's going to be uncomfortable. False, false, false.
None of it happened.
Not at all.
Well, I feel the exact same way, but with the Fits Everybody t-shirt bra, I never knew what t-shirt bra meant. I always thought it meant it was made out of material like t-shirts are, which I was like, well, that doesn't seem like it'd be very supportive. Nay. It just means it looks great under t-shirts and shirts, and the fabric is so very soft. It feels like butter. You don't even feel like you're really wearing a bra, mm-hmm. which I can't say about most bras. I'm very aware when I have bra on, but this one just fits just right.
Like you said, you're thinking, it's like a whole thing. It's going to stick me, poke me. But like I said, the great lift and support in my ultimate teardrop push-up bra, the material being way softer and comfortable than I could have imagined. Mm-hmm. It also makes me feel more confident, and it really supports me like no other bra I've had before. I'll tell you that.
I feel the same way. The Fits Everybody t-shirt bra, everything for me is where it needs to be, where I like it to be, you know, holds mm-hmm. everything in place. Shop the Skims Ultimate Bra Collection and more at skims.com. After you place your order, be sure to let them know we sent you. Select podcast in the survey and be sure to select our show in the drop-down menu that follows. We continue on with men that suck. This one is from Bree and it's called Vignettes About the Pharmacy Pervert. Hello, ladies. I'm a huge fan of your show ever since I discovered you two while researching the Fresno Nightcrawler for an RPG I mod. But anyways, I have so many stories from my years working in compounding pharmacies across Massachusetts. So many. But today, I'd like to share my stories about the time I worked for a company run by an old man we all learned had a bit of a porn addiction, culminating, of course, in the Great Porn Avalanche. DK shall be his name, call him Donkey Kong if you want, and he was a 70-year-old man that ran a compounding pharmacy his father had built. It was his second home, and thankfully has since closed its doors for good. He acted like a big kid there, in the best and worst ways, and felt comfortable enough to jack off in there after hours. How do I know this? Because not once, but at least three times in the 10 months I worked there, he forgot to close his tabs, maybe on purpose. I'll let you decide. The first time, my friend, a 25-year-old woman who worked in the hazardous drugs lab, turned on her computer only to find the Google image results of hardcore pornography across her screen. Let me reiterate, she worked in the hazardous drugs lab, where we have to sign a waiver to work with carcinogenic and teratoxic materials. She thought at first we'd been hacked or got a virus or something. But when we realized it must have been DK, she bleached that whole lab. The second time I, 24-year-old female at the time, was at my computer corner next to the inventory shelves. I thought I'd left my Google Chrome tabs open from the day before. So I clicked it, hoping to just log back into the website we used and to get to my work a little faster than usual. Instead, my screen filled with pictures of butts, and when I X'd out of that tab, there was a second tab of butts. That area also got bleached because we all knew it was DK, but had no courage to confront him about it. He was the owner of the company, after all. HR doesn't work when there's no actual repercussions he can have because he's the owner. Well, we did get back at him when 12 out of the 17 employees all quit in the span of 3 months, which forced the place to close down, but I digress. Third time it happened, I don't remember which young woman got hit with it, but my friend from the first story got together with the boys in the shipping room and searched through the company's computer search history and blocked all the porn sites DK used. Of course, we never told him about this, so he didn't know we knew what it meant when he left his iPad on the table in the main room with the screen reading the "site cannot be accessed" message in the middle of the day. I imagine he used to just use magazines, until the day he lost them all. You see, the building was about as old and decrepit as he was, and just as sneaky. He used to keep his magazine collection on top of a loose ceiling tile in the upstairs office. Now, this collection had issues dating back to at least the 70s, or so I've heard, and eventually, the weight of the accumulated biomass of it all was too much for that poor tile to bear. One day, that tile gave out and dumped an avalanche of porn magazines all across the office floor. Our marketing man came upstairs, thankfully this was while everyone was at lunch and no one was hurt, and yelled for DK to come clean up his mess. That's it for now. If you want to hear more stories, let me know. In the meantime, always remember to close your tabs and clear your search history when you share a computer with your employees.
If you're jacking around... If you're jacking off around carcinogenic and tetratoxic or teratoxic chemicals,
I don't even know what those are.
You might have a porn addiction. If you have so much pornography that it threatens to injure people while falling out of the ceiling.
The ceiling cannot hold the weight of the stacks of porn that you've got dating back to the 70s.
That Macklemore song, "The Ceiling Can't Hold Us." That's what it was about.
That's about this,
it's about this guy's porno collection.
Oh, dude.
Good God. I'm so sorry.
I would like to say, first of all, this guy sucks and gross. I feel like it was intentional.
Right. To be like, let's see who says something about
three
it.
Three women. Like,
On
three different computers. I don't find that to be an accident, because if you want to look at porn at the business you own, use your own fucking computer. Use your iPad in the bathroom or something. I mean, first of all, don't do it at all.
No.
But if you're going to, don't sit in the carcinogenic lab room where people are wearing like literal plastic wrap over their hair, PPE, masks on, full things over your clothes to protect yourself, and you've got your dick out.
Mm-hmm. With the dick hole open to have ejaculate, presumably.
So something
could go back in.
Oh my God.
In a lake situation. It's why you don't pee in the lake. It's why you don't jack off in the carcinogen lab. It's because it might go back up the outway.
I'm going to throw up.
Sorry. This guy, on the one hand, it's horrible. It's offensive. It's terrible what he did. But on the other hand, you have to think about that this guy was 70 in whatever year this was when we had the internet. So say he's been a pervert forever.
Yeah.
As a kid, he's probably like, man, I wish there was like a machine and I could just type in butts and it'd just be unlimited butts. And then by the time he's 70, it's happened and he's like sucked in.
Yeah.
And truly, I mean, like a person that does this is probably simultaneously addicted to pornography and, like you said, sexually harassing the employees. Yeah. This also, I think this is a great, thank you, Bree. This is a great lesson in the power of the collective, because you were all under the thumb of a geriatric, mentally...
Not just the thumb.
Unhinged, exactly. Mentally unhinged tyrant. And you're like, we have no recourse. We feel like the system is broken. But when you all work together, you literally shut the business down by leaving collectively. Yeah. And so if this is a microcosm...
You also shut his porn allowance down.
He was like, finally, he gets home. He's like, finally, these websites work again. I love that you tricked him and that you blocked it on his own computer and he didn't even notice. But it's like truly the power of collective action. If ever we all feel like our lives are meaningless, there are more ants than there are grass. Hoppers, and the ants in this case won. I tell you what.
Absolutely. I love that the shipping dudes were in on it.
Hell yeah.
I love that you out-boomered him. And he also that he, like, every time you walk by and see it's like site cannot be reached. You're like, DK was trying to jerk off again. It's 9 a.m.
This is where we serve the cupcakes for Brenda's breakfast. And now there's fucking cupcakes. It's her birthday.
Anymore.
And his iPad's out and we know what he was trying to look at. Yeah, it's fucking terrible.
I have worked at many a job where I felt like there was zero reason for there to be an HR department for whatever reasons. Family-owned business. HR just is essentially a puppet for the owners of the company. So, you know, I've also known people that work in HR and are great people and do a great job. Mm-hmm. It's a tough line to toe to be there for the employees while also working for the company. It's weird. But when you are HR and you own the place, yeah, what are you going to do? You're going to go to DK and confront him about this? God, no.
No.
You're going to get all the sites blocked, and then you're all going to stage a walkout, which forces him to close the business that his father built.
I'm like, sir, you literally jacked your dad's business away. Like, you jacked off so much that your dad's company that he built, if you jack off so much that your family business shutters, you might have a porn addiction and you need help. Like, good God.
You came and the business went.
Come and go.
You can't do it. You can't have both. You can't have, this is why you don't shit where you eat.
Nope.
You don't jerk off where you work.
No.
Unless you work at a place where you're supposed to jerk off.
The porn testing company. They're like, is this one any good? Go in and let us know. And he's like giving out sperm samples. That's given out.
I think they
donating.
Donate. I don't don't take sperm from just somebody that's giving it away on the street corner.
It's like a sample table at Costco. It's just a little cup for everybody.
Yes, and thank you, Brie. Brie sent us some palate cleanser pics of her sweet fur babies. Look at these cuties.
Sweet kitty
both
face.
Both green eyes.
I like
so
the,
pretty.
The one cat, they both, to me, I'm just seeing lions and jaguars and tigers from Siegfried and Roy. I'm like, that looks like a snow leopard or white lion. And then we also have a little jaguar in a box, in an Amazon box.
Yeah. No, they are just small, big cats, which is, you know, small cats and big cats.
It's hobby.
Oh, man, Brie. Well, kudos to you for doing what so many have wanted to do and few have achieved. But a round of applause to everyone that worked there. And DK, I hope it doesn't work anymore.
No,
your peen is doesn't work. No. Your peen's flaccid, it's wherever gone. You are.
Shout out to the survivors of the Great Porn Avalanche. We'll dude, always remember your
imagine
bravery.
Though you weren't at lunch and you're just like trying to fill a fucking prescription and do just bush upon bush of these 1970s playboys are raining down upon your head.
It's raining bush. Oh my God. It's raining
bush. And then bush. The one man that is there is like, I have to be the one to go fucking tell DK to come clean this shit up.
He's like, I was clubbed in the head by a Playboy magazine. I will sue this place.
Oh man. Well, kudos again.
Yeah. Sinisterhood will be right back.
Oh man, alive. Summertime.
Yeah.
I love myself some sandwiches.
Mm-hmm.
Especially like a breakfast sandwich or even just like a wrap midday, something a little lighter. And my favorite of all of these comes from Hero Bread. They've got bagels, wraps, sliced sandwich bread, croissants, everything. You name it, they've got it. And it is all the best. And so much lower in carbs than all the other breads that I'm trying to buy.
That's the best part of Hero Bread is the taste of it, but you can also focus on your health goals while indulging in the soft, fluffy bread experience that you love. You can enjoy, like you said, a breakfast wrap, avocado toast, grilled cheese with some cozy soup, burgers on family burger night. The thing about Hero Bread, their products are delicious and flavorful, but have ultra low net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, and they're high in fiber. Everybody always needs fiber.
Fiber's a key, is how it keeps everything moving. We are a Hero Bread family. Everybody in the house loves it. The kids love it. Like, there's, if anything, it tastes better than, you
store-bought.
Know, bread that has, yeah, with a lot of carbs in it. I don't know how they did it, but they managed to.
You'd never know it's low net carb and high fiber bread from the texture. Get the soft, fluffy experience you know and love with your next savory breakfast sandwich, late night grilled cheese, or family taco Tuesday.
You can also get monthly small batch drops of indulgent favorites like their 4-gram net carb bagel and new surprises coming this year.
Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code CREEPY at checkout.
That's CREEPY at HERO.CO. Well, this next one is from your daughter.
Sweetheart.
And the subject line is my mom, which I guess is you.
So we have two moms.
She has two moms.
Yeah.
My mom and I got caught in the middle of a high-speed chase while just trying to go to Menards to get supplies for our new house. Anonymous writes, love you guys. My life is one constant Freaky Friday story. So much so that I know I have other more intriguing stories that are stored way back in my brain, probably suppressed at this point, but this is the only one that isn't fuzzy. My mom and I were in the, quote, city near where I grew up. My village had only around 500 people in it, so it wasn't, and still isn't, even considered a town. We were in the city due to me having an appointment of some kind, and when we went to the city, it was a full-day excursion. We were on the 3-lane highway from one end of the city to the other to go to Menards, a home improvement store in the Midwest, when something started to feel off. I was sitting in the passenger seat and started to look around. I saw zero other cars on the road behind us and maybe two or three on the road in front of us. The only other vehicle close to us was about 30 yards ahead of us and was a city work truck with the big traffic barrels they use during road work. It was in the lane to the left of us, like I mentioned before, about 30 yards ahead. Before I had a chance to turn and look behind us again, I see 5 to 7 police cars coming at us, going the wrong way down the highway. I then turn around and see 3 more police cars coming up behind us. I then turn back around in time to see a little sports car streaking up the road in front of all of the police cars coming directly at us. The car then slammed into the front of the city work truck as the rest of the police cars ascended onto it. My mom just drove right past the city truck and the speeding car that had just collided like nothing happened. She then said about 30 seconds later, you know, if that truck wasn't there, we probably would have just been hit head on and killed. Yeah, no shit, Mom. I should have known right then and there that she was going to be my main reason for therapy. Thanks for the inherited anxiety. Was it nature or nurture for me? Thank you for all you do. I need to send in the video of the ghost that haunts the school that I work at for Sunday Scaries. Much love.
Holy shit. Not just a high-speed chase. It's a wrong-way driver on a highway, yeah. Which is so deadly. Holy shit.
I don't know what the outcome was of that car crashing into that work truck, but head on going that fast.
Not great.
I'm glad it was the work truck because those things can withstand a lot and not the two of you. It is wild that at some point there wasn't like a barrier or flares thrown down. Like people aren't going to keep driving.
I mean, that eerie feeling where you're like, why am I the only car on the highway? And it's like maybe the barrier, you just happen to get on that exit. But like you said, close the exit off. Don't let me get on this highway. Man, Anonymous and her mom were trying to go save big money at Menards and they got fucking stopped.
Dude. Oh, man. I remember having those feelings, especially back when you would call people on the phone and you couldn't get in touch with anyone. You're like, did everybody go somewhere? Or did something happen? And I'm the only one left. Like being on a highway and all of a sudden becoming very aware that there's no one else around you is like a moment where you're like, oh, this is not at all right. You know, like that feeling like you're like, am I in a dream? This is so off that this like, is this happening?
Or like a movie about a zombie apocalypse where you're like, why all of a sudden are there no other cars? And it's usually like a funeral procession's behind you or, a big accident that they've blocked off and like you got on right after it or whatever. But this is probably worst case scenario. I mean, other than the work truck not being there is to have a wrong way, high speed chase coming right at you. And the cops didn't kick you off the road in time. But glad you guys were okay.
You got to get to Menards. Mom knew. Yeah, like, we're not stopping. Money. We got places to go.
You got to, man. Menards has everything.
Well, I've never been, but I love a home improvement. Is it like Home Depot?
Yeah, kind of more like True Value, kind of like a little bit bigger of True Value. Yeah. So I think the barrel truck taking the hit, hopefully everybody was okay. But like you said, if it was that or your car, I think the barrel truck was better equipped to handle that. Yeah, for sure.
For sure.
Well, send in that video to Sunday Scaries, please. We'd love to see it. Well, this next one's from T, and the subject line is Lost Time and the UFO That Only I Remember. Hi, girly whirlies. You can call me T. I just found your podcast this year, and I'm listening from the beginning. I just got to Freaky Friday episode 54 with a story from Kelly, who lost an hour of time with her sister. This reminded me of something similar that happened to me that was preemptive to one of the craziest experiences I've ever had. So I'm going to tell both those stories, and I'd love to know your thoughts. Some backstory you'll need is that I'm from a very small town in Massachusetts, which is about 45 minutes from Boston. Growing up there, you tend to run out of things to do quickly. Because of this, just driving around became a pastime for me and my friends, and we spent many nights in the car with no particular place to go. Now, on to my missing time story. My best friend and I, we'll call her M, love the beach. Many nights, our drives would consist of driving to the beach to dip a toe. One of our favorite places to do this was First Beach in Newport, Rhode Island, because there was street parking so you could override the gates being closed at night. We would do this, kick around, eat Taco Bell, and talk shit. All my favorite things. One night, M was driving us home from one of the said romps in Newport, which is about an hour and a half away. It's definitely sometime after midnight, but this all takes place around 2010-ish, so I don't remember specifics. During the drive, we have to go over a bridge on the highway, which normally we don't think twice about. So we're driving and chatting when about an hour goes by and we realize we're going over the same bridge again. This made no sense. We hadn't taken an exit to turn around. We had been driving for an hour without taking a single turn. And somehow we were crossing the bridge for the second time, still in Rhode Island, even though we should almost be home by this point. We both realized this at the same time and could not make any sense of it. How could it be possible? We couldn't even remember a pause in conversation. It didn't feel like missing time at all. We didn't know what to make of it, so we just went home and went on with our lives per usual. I've personally been compartmentalizing weird things that have happened to me my whole life because I grew up in a haunted house. Better not to think too hard about it, you know? Like I said before, this was around 2010. So I don't remember exact timelines, but the second story is maybe 6 months to a year later. Here we are again, another night of driving around. This time it's M and our other friend, who I'll call Jay, driving around the town over from ours. No toe dipping this time, just endless back roads and wherever they took us. We decided to head back home and had to drop Jay off before M would take me back to her house to get my car. As I sat in the back seat, I noticed this bright red light in the sky. It was off in the distance at first, but we began heading toward it. I noted how strange it was because it was red, but also because it didn't seem to be moving. But as I'm in the backseat, I didn't have the best vantage point to keep it in my sights as we traversed the roads back home. We dropped off Jay and headed back to M's house. This was a very short drive, maybe 3 minutes. We got out of the car, and as we did, we looked up, and just above the tree line was a huge V-shaped craft with red lights in a row on the bottom of said craft. I've included a drawing, which is obviously bad, but I wanted you to be able to picture it correctly. It was slowly hovering over M's neighborhood, essentially directly over us. M and I were freaking out. I had already stopped smoking weed at this point. It made me paranoid, but M had been partaking, and I can only assume that being very high and seeing this was scarier than being sober. We were watching this and saying things like, "What the fuck is that?" etc. I even hid behind M, like somehow that would protect me from being seen by this big thing up in the air. I won't lie, it did make me feel slightly better. Then, as if hearing us in our panic, all of the lights on the craft turned off at once. It was a nice gesture from whoever was up there, but unfortunately, we could still see the outline of the ship passing by us against the light of the moon, and we were still freaking the fuck out. We watched as it cleared past her house and then sprung into action. She ran in the house and I ran to my car and flew the fuck out of there. When I got home, I told my dad all about it and even drew him a picture of what it looked like. Em and I didn't talk about this right away. She was back and forth from college, so sometimes we'd go a few months before we'd see each other. You have to remember this was before we had iPhones and she had a non-smartphone longer than most people. It's not like we were in non-stop communication like people are now. I tell you that because to make this whole experience weirder, she doesn't remember any of this. And she is adamant of that still all of these years later. It actually pisses me the fuck off, because how and why? Is this some sort of marijuana-induced amnesia? That bitch get abducted after I went home and then they men in blacked her memory? I don't think she's gaslighting me about this at all. It's not her style. Plus, she remembers lots of other weird shit that happened when we were together. Just not this. We're still besties, but now at a long distance. Another rude thing she's done. The few times I've told the story with her around, she never says I'm wrong or am I making it up. She just shrugs and says she doesn't remember. So what do you guys think? Thankfully, it hasn't happened again, so I'm pretty sure it wasn't hallucinations or something. And my dad still remembers me telling the story and drawing the picture, which does make me feel a bit better about it. P.S. Heather, after I started listening to the podcast, I was creeping you both on social media so I could put faces to the voices I've been spending hours listening to. And I was stunned to see a picture of your beautiful baby goose, because she looks exactly like my godson dog, Dewey, who my cousin adopted a few years ago in New York City, who had been at a kill shelter just outside of Dallas. I like to think she's his aunt or something. Please find a picture of Dewdrop included with permission. If you decide to read this story on the pod, will you let me know? I'm so far behind, I could miss it for a year before I get there. Thanks, T.
Yes, I will reply to your submission, T, to let you know this is coming in. This looks exactly like Goose.
It does. It like this dog. First of all, when I got Goose, she was about a year old and they said she had had puppies, but I don't have them. Never knew where they were. She was abandoned in a ravine, kind of a like ditch waterway behind my old house that my aunt used to live in, and crawled up into my aunt's backyard. And that's, you know, no chip or anything. And she was kind of ill when I got her. So vet was like, you know, they have puppies. And then if the mom is ill, they're kind of like, well, we have the puppies. Let's just go chuck this one in the ravine and get rid of it. So that's why she's so fierce, is she's a survivor.
She is. This dog, she's from the mean streets.
It looks identical to her.
Yeah.
This is crazy.
Yeah.
I was
the
like,
little sleepy eyes.
And the little laying on the side, the little chunky body. She looks, man, he looks just like the goose. And not only that, T, but your drawing and the location that you're at. If you haven't gotten there yet, probably because you're listening from the beginning, but I feel that you will be relieved to hear the Bridgewater Triangle episode, because this looks and sounds and moves exactly like what those two reporters saw in that.
Relieved / have more questions.
Yeah, maybe so. But that's, I mean, I think it was a UAP. I mean, what else was it? And what those guys says was, we definitely saw something. We don't know if it was alien, if it was a military aircraft, you know, surveillance operation, whatever. But we saw something big and mechanical with these, like this triangle kind of diamond shape to it.
Yeah. UAP doesn't mean aliens, little gray men. It could be just the military, and it's unidentified. And they see one stone teen down there and the other one hiding behind him, and it's like, shut the lights off. They see us.
Fuck, they can see us. But yeah, I'd love to hear what other people think. If anybody up in the Connecticut, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, you know, New England area, kind of near where these sightings are, have seen something similar to this, but we'll include your drawing. Your drawing is not bad. Like I said, I think it looks like what those guys saw in the Bridgewater episode. So you're good.
It's not bad at all. This was 2010-ish. So... there's been 15 years of perhaps more sightings that we may hear about.
More sightings. Well, thank you for sending that in to us, T. And thanks for them little puppy pictures.
Yes.
Sinister Hood will be right back.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
This next one is also from my daughter, Anonymous, and the subject line is mail from an old friend. Hi, ladies. My husband and I absolutely love the show and tell everyone to listen to you because you're the best. Gush, gush, to gush. This story isn't really paranormal or crime related, but it is both odd and true. So this past week, I checked our mailbox and we had a few pieces of mail, a pre-approved credit card for my husband, woohoo, something asking for a donation, and one more. A mysterious letter with no return address, but written specifically to our address with old friend where our names should be. Also, it was postmarked from Michigan, which is weird because we live on the East Coast and don't know anyone who lives in that state. This was weird on many levels. Also, a little concerning because my first assumption was that it was from my estranged father. We went no contact a little over a year ago for a variety of reasons, including but not limited to the fact that he's emotionally slash mentally unstable and refuses to seek professional help. He also obsessively watches Fox News and is a far-right conspiracy theorist slash QAnon follower. He also lives in a state west of us, so I thought maybe that's why it was postmarked from Michigan. I was worried that we would open the envelope and his manifesto or something would be inside. However, inside the envelope was a printed-out article about how Trump is ruining the country. Huh, doesn't seem like his brand. Also, my mom, who's divorced from him, heard through the grapevine that he's in our state on the East Coast and has been for some time. So now we have no theories about who sent this mail. Oh, also, it has a weird symbol on the envelope that looks intentionally drawn and placed, but a reverse Google image search shows nothing. What does it mean? Who is this old friend? Was this meant for me and my progressive husband? We have so many questions and no answers. Pics of the envelope and article attached for your enjoyment. The end.
The end. Oh, this reminds me of the watcher.
Yeah, with the house. New Jersey. Yeah, mm-hmm. Right. Or like the Google notes, like where it's like somebody's. But this one's more targeted, like the watcher, yeah. Where they've mailed it to your house.
Yeah. We'll post it with the address blocked out on social, so you can see this symbol. It's like a circle with what looks. It's just like kind of, that's not even a shape. I don't know what that is.
Maybe it could be like somebody trying to make a sigil for themselves or something, or two letters like layered over one another. You can see on the article is a opinion piece from the New York Times by Thomas L. Friedman, and it was published April 15th. And in the top left corner, this was printed on someone's printer 4/15/25 at 7:08 p.m. So, it just looks like from the NewYorkTimes.com website, like they clicked print and this is what came out and they decided to mail it to old friend. I mean, if that's not your dad's handwriting and definitely he's not from Michigan, I think that sort of rules him out.
And it's, this article's titled, "I Have Never Been More Afraid for My Country's Future." So, if he's a big MAGA guy, I think he would disagree with what this article is about.
Yeah, send you the article and be like, this is wrong or whatever. Yeah. But yeah, otherwise it looks like they're kind of sending it to say like, hey, check this out. But interesting, we'll post a zoom in of the sigil. We'll block out your address and everything, but just get the old friend part so folks can see that, as well as a picture of this article, because this is...
Yeah.
Let us know in the comments on Instagram or on Patreon if y'all have any ideas of what that little image. I said sigil. That's just me. Yeah. Whatever it is. Logo, symbol, something.
You're right. Like almost like the NXIVM symbol with like initials that made or some kind of a crest or something.
Yeah.
It's not, doesn't appear to be drawn with a lot of precision.
Yeah.
Nor does the whole addressing of the envelope in general. At first I thought it was one of those things where it looks like it's somebody wrote it, but really it's just printed and they always try to get you. But you can tell because this was written in like blue marker that it's smeared.
Yeah. Oh no. Yeah. The address of the city name. Yeah. Like it got something dripped on it or whatever. Yeah. So it's like, to me, that's like a Crayola washable marker that it would be water. You know, a Sharpie marker might not smear like a Crayola would. So yeah. Who's writing in all caps? And to me, it looks like the print handwriting looks perhaps like an older person wrote it and in all caps. So I don't know. It's a great question, but and it just gives you a city in Michigan, but not a like, you know, it's not a real return address or anything you can trace it to.
Yeah, that's bizarre. I mean, if your first inclination was this might be from my estranged dad, you might still not be wrong about that. I mean, this is pure speculation, but maybe he's reaching out in an odd way to say I've turned around or I don't know, just maybe not I've turned around, but trying to initiate some kind of a conversation.
Yeah.
But it also could just be some rando that doesn't even know you and just was sending this out to everybody on the street, you know?
I wonder, like, what, or like if somebody lived there however many years before and don't, the person that sent the letter doesn't know that their old friend has moved and just went ahead and still sent it.
Yeah.
But maybe isn't in contact with them. I don't know. But
old friends sound so personal with being impersonal that I feel like this, that, ask your neighbors. Ask your neighbors. Did anybody else in the street get one of these bizarre letters?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, it kind of has that vibe of someone that's just like obsessively printing things out and stapling and just addressing and mailing. So, yeah, but it is, it's certainly odd. Don't get rid of it.
No, yeah, I say keep it as evidence. Mm-hmm. Put it in a plastic bag. Well, let us know. And like I said, go check out our social media so you can see what that's logo, sigil, whatever it is. And if you've received a letter like this, please, please tell Anonymous so she knows she's not alone.
For sure.
Sinister Hood will be right back.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
All right, well, this last one's also from my daughter, Anonymous, and the subject line is Toilet of Terror. Hi, hello, I adore both of you and the show, and I'm so grateful to have you two as voices of reason in the chaotic shitstorm we're living through. The Freaky Friday about the camp pipe toilet nightmare inspired me to send in my deeply embarrassing but also very representative of my childhood tale. For as long as I can remember, I was always drawn to creepy stories, scary movies, all of it. Not that I wasn't scared shitless, because I was, but I, one, have severe ADHD and need the thrill, and two, I was born and will die a spooky bitch. As a little kid, I would seize any opportunity to hear a scary story, and my imagination would hyperfixate on whatever horrifying shit I was told. It's worth noting here that I grew up in New England with a very Irish, sarcastic, and dark-humored family, so conditions were ripe for me to be fucked with. One summer day, I was on the beach with my family, and per my request, my dad was recounting the plots of old Twilight Zone and X-File episodes. When I asked to go to the bathroom for the umpteenth time, a long and inconvenient walk away from our spot on the beach, my dad decided to tell me a, quote, true story to dissuade me.
I don't think we've ever told you this, but did you know there's a monster that lives in the sewers?
He asked. Immediately accepting it as fact, I begged for more. He continued,
nobody knows how it got there, but it lives underground and swims between all the pipes and preys on people like Jaws. He swam up and ate a kid at a school, and he even found his way into a porta potty and ate somebody ass up.
Important notes here, my parents showed me Jaws when I was 3 because Massachusetts. And this story was when I was maybe 6, so the plot hole around porta potties not being connected to sewer lines was lost on me. My dad proceeded to note that the porta potty slash scene of the crime was just like the ones at the beach and asked if I still needed to go pee. Needless to say, he got out of that bathroom run, but his terrifying tale backfired that vacation week. I, a neurodivergent kid with a destructively vivid imagination, consequently refused to use the bathroom indoors for the remainder of the week. And I insisted on going outside of our rented cottage in a densely packed area. Great. Sincerely pleaded with my parents and brothers to not get eaten ass up every time they went to the bathroom and saw every toilet seat as a sewer monster's dinner plate. I don't remember how long this lasted, though it was at least a good portion of the summer because I was apparently more feral than Donnie Thornberry. This is one of many absurd chapters from my childhood, and I've got so many scary stories to write in, but I felt I needed to share my toilet terror experience this week. Specifically, love you both. Stay safe out there.
Oh, man. Eating ass up is so good.
Please don't.
He's like, that porta potty was destroyed. He ate him ass up. Like,
what? Oh, man. So I gotta. Good. Whenever I think I want to do something like this, I think, and then my kids will shit out and pee outside for a week because I've ruined them. So that's when I stop myself.
Yeah. You got to really weigh the how much do you want to do the bit with how much do you want to have to deal with the aftermath mm-hmm. of the bit? Like, bits are so fun. And then it's like, that's all we heard about for the next 3 months was the toilet monster. So that sucked. And they shit themselves. So yeah, it was even
and
worse.
And we couldn't get them to go pee inside anymore.
Nope.
So I don't know who Donnie Thornberry. Oh, the Wild Thornberries.
The Wild Thornberries. Yes. Okay. Yeah, the Wild yes, Thornberries. Yes, yes, yes.
As soon as I said it out loud.
Yes, he was living out in the jungle. So you chaotic wild child trying to go just squatting over a hole you dug out in the beach.
Or like, maybe a pipe.
Yeah, go find you a pipe. Oh, Dad. Well, he learned that lesson. He was like, I just won't have to take her to the bathroom this one time with this story. And it was like, cut to the rest of the vacation. You're like, please, I'll take you to any bathroom, any at all.
Ate somebody ass up. Also, he swam up and ate a kid at school. Now, you got a call from the principal coming.
Yeah. She was doing a double decker at the school bathroom. She wouldn't sit on the toilet right.
Oh, no one will use the tire swing anymore because she's desecrated it.
Anything that's hole shaped, that the tube slide is ruined for the rest of the year.
Oh, yeah. Nobody, don't go down that. Don't go down that.
There's a lot of crevices and it's shut down till summer. So, oh, my dear sweet anonymous. Well, as you're my child, I would never lie to you this way, but what a fun story. And like you said, you're a big Irish family in New England. You were definitely going to get fucked with one way
or the other. It was going to happen. Yeah, for sure. Well, thank you so much to your daughters. Had quite a time, several stories, and everyone else that sent in your Freaky Friday stories. If you have an odd but true story, maybe you've encountered Bigfoot, you've seen a UFO, you had a brush with true crime, or you felt the presence of an otherworldly being, send them in at sinisterhood.com/freakyfriday. Speaking of freaky, if you got something creepy caught on camera, found a weird or unexplainable clip online, maybe you just have a funny video you want us to see. Well, send it our way and we'll live react to it during Sunday Scaries, our weekly live stream over on Patreon every Sunday at 8:30 p.m. Central, sinisterhood.com/scaries to submit those. Don't worry, it's still totally free over on Patreon. And plus, just by entering your email to get it, become a free member to get access to this, you get also get access to a bunch of other free bonus content. So it's a win-win.
Absolutely. There's now 15 editions of Sunday Scaries in there. So that's already 15, 30 hours of content, plus the monthly audio bonus that goes out. That's an archive bonus content to all the free members. So there's always fun stuff to do, but really it's the chatting with us live and the chatting mm-hmm. with y'all live. That's the most fun of Sunday
Scaries. So much fun. Well, if you like our free episodes, you'll love our Patreon bonus content. You can join for free to see what we're up to next or dive into over 1,000 hours of bonus content like Judge Christie, where I rule on petty grievances you bring before the court, True Crime Headlines, where we break down the latest news and updates in true crime, Heather Saves, where anything Heather has found late night scrolling could be discussed, Am I the Asshole, and Popular Opinions, and other subreddits that we feel require our input.
You heard Cassie at the beginning. She said it's her most valuable Patreon subscription, and we take that to heart. We appreciate you.
Thank you so much.
If you're not sure what it's all about, we also offer free trials. It's not the same as a free member. You stay a free member forever if you want to, but if you do a free trial, that's where you join for free at one of the tiers, check out all the perks, cancel anytime before the trial is over without getting charged. You go back to being a free member and just kind of poke around and see what's in there. But if you do stick around, do an annual membership, you get a month free. And then what else do you get with a membership?
Ad-free episodes, monthly live stream Q&As. We do them on the third Thursday of every month. Also, quarterly live bonus content, weekly audio bonus content, mini-sodes, merch discounts, and most importantly, a community of the best listeners on the whole internet.
Absolutely. Head over to sinisterhead.com and click shop on the top banner to check out merch like t-shirts, mugs, totes, stickers, and even clothes for your kiddos.
While you're on our website, you can also review the show, submit topics and cases you'd like us to cover, submit your stories for Sunday Scaries and Freaky Friday, and you'll also find fun things like topic-based playlists and, again, tickets for Crime Wave at Sea 2025.
Don't miss the Ultimate True Crime Festival at Sea. You go to also go to crimewaveatsea.com/sinister. You can follow us on Instagram and Threads at Sinisterhood Pod. Like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. Follow us on YouTube and TikTok at Sinisterhood Podcast. Watch clips from the show, episodes, live streams, and more. And be sure you're absolutely following us on TikTok. We're going to go live there when we do our paranormal investigation coming up soon, like next weekend. Yeah, God damn.
It's next weekend.
It's next weekend. Well,
we get to be in Vermont next weekend. Ooh,
take me away to Vermont. Happy Father's Day. We're going to celebrate Father's Day, right? With this paranormal investigation.
Yeah. But we will be going live. And it was a lot of fun. We went live from Trans-Allegheny.
Yeah.
So tune in and come along on that spooky journey with us.
Come along for the adventure. And if you need a gift for Father's Day or any other holiday coming up, a unique and personal gift for you for the Sinisterhood fan in your life, or if you want to treat yourself, get a pep talk, some advice, book a cameo now from happy birthday to birth announcements and congratulations on all manner of things to celebrate. We would love to help you celebrate by creating a custom video that can be immediately viewed and sent. It's a thoughtful gift. It's perfect for when you're not trying to get out, go buy something. And it's something that they don't already have. Because even if they already have a cameo from us, it's different from every person and to every cameo. We've done back-to-back cameos for the same person. And those were both different because the requests were different. Yeah, so go to Cameo. Yep. Cameo.com/Sinisterhood. Well, where can folks find you on the internet?
I'm on Instagram and Threads at Christy M. Wallace and TikTok at Christy or GTFO. Heather?
I'm on the internet at Heather versus the World.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.